Hey, boys and girls. Fish and Frank here. Something that I couldn't get anything to load last week. But anyway, we're back again, trying one more time, just to see how this is all going to work out. Back in the old boards, in the original studio. And Fish and Frank here in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me. And we've got Captain Carl in the guest spot. Interesting developments around the harbor. There has been some, actually, okay, Carl's out, and you've been on the school black drum.
Yep,
are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, just let's see if I can get so I can hear you there. Usually, I thought I had this all set up. So say hello, Carl.
Hello.
All right, kind of got you there. All right, Robert.
Hi, Frank. Maybe not.
There we go. All right, hopefully that'll work.
That should work.
So we're looking at a big school of black drum out in the harbor, and what's up, Carl?
I don't know, like yesterday we were fishing on them, and you know, I got home last night, and I looked at the pictures of them, and like, the black drum that we were catching, I haven't looked two totally different, like, fish. And then, you know, we were sitting there, and actually one of them had, like, five or six black dots on them.
Redfish dots.
Yeah, redfish dots on and the black drum.
And you're going to email these pictures. I'm going to put them up here on the fishing report here so people can see what we're talking about. But he's got a picture of a redfish that literally has, or a black drum that literally has dots like a redfish. Little dots on, not a big round dot at the tail, but smaller dots by the dorsal fin, which is quite common on a redfish. And you've got a picture of two black drum, and one of them definitely looks like a black drum, and the other one looks like a monster redfish.
Yeah, I mean,
but they're both black drum.
Yeah, they don't have the forehead on them like the other one does. I mean, you can see the two difference because they were holding up two at a time because we were doubling up on them. And, I mean, they look totally different fish.
Now, Robert, you're the brainiac here. Is this possible that black drum can be mating with redfish to come up with a new, I don't know.
Hybrid?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to call them, okay, we've got a black drum, we got a red drum, so what's between black and red? Purple drum?
Copper?
Right. Yeah. Now, yes, they're related enough where they absolutely could crossbreed and produce, you know, a hybrid animal. Is it possible? It wouldn't be surprising anymore with, you know, the lack of numbers of each species in certain areas where they got to do anything they can to kind of keep their existence going.
They see it with sharks around the world where there's not enough of one species of shark, so they start mating with other species.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, down in Australia a few years ago, they had a thing about that. And then, but we see it here in the harbor a lot. Used to be when I first started fishing here and, you know, catching bait and stuff, there was schools of thread fins or there was schools of greenbacks. And when you caught a specific type of fish, whether it be sugar trout or spade fish or butterfish or skipjacks, white bait, thread fins, that's what you were catching. But as their numbers decrease, they all get together to form larger schools because there's more safety in numbers.
Yes.
Now, with the black drum and the red drum, they might start spawning together just because, okay, hey, it looks like fun and let's go. And maybe there's not enough redfish around, so they start getting in with the schools of black drum, or the black drum start getting with schools of redfish. So this is technically an actual real possibility, because we've been saying for a while that there's some of these black drum back in the canals that don't act like regular black drum. They kind of cruise right under the surface. They're very light colored. They've got the drum fins, the drum look, but they're not like regular black drum. Right, Carl?
Yeah.
You see them in the canals all the time.
Yep. I mean, even the way those two, like I was remembering, because I actually have a video on Facebook Live about it. I mean, you could actually see the lighter one that looks more like a redfish was fighting a whole heck of a lot harder. Like he was actually making runs like a redfish, where the, you know, the other one was actually bigger, but he was just more anchoring himself up like normal black drum does when you fight him.
So you think we're, I guess what we're going to have to do is get one of these fish and take it into the Greg Palatka, and we got to call him and ask him about how much it costs to run a DNA check on this fish.
Yeah, and you don't need to take the whole animal. All you need is a fin clip. Just a clip off of a piece of the fin, or the, either the pectoral fin or dorsal fin, and put it in a little bottle of alcohol, and it should be fine.
Next week, your assignment is to get a hold of it and find out what it's going to cost me to have this fish genetically tested.
Okay.
So, now that we've talked about genetic abnormalities, you know, you guys are both giving me this look like, really?
We're mind-boggled.
No, it's just it's an interesting thought process of these animals, and it's cool and yet scary and sad all at the same time if it's really happening, because you understand why it's happening, because it's depleting the population.
Right.
You but know, so part
I'm
of
already
cool
hearing
for
stories
survival.
About a lot of little redfish around.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this there's year. A lot of redfish.
Oh, absolutely.
And a lot of little tiny redfish from what I'm hearing. And I haven't been out there to check it out myself, but I'm hearing about a lot of tiny redfish, which means I'm right and the entire rest of the world was wrong. I love that part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So,
well, I'm right there with you. You
fish and Frank, you don't 10, world zero. You know, just because I'm crazy and abnormal and all these other things doesn't mean I'm wrong. So... because I've been arguing with these people for almost a year now about this, and I think this fall, this winter, is going to prove I'm right and everybody else is wrong. It's not the fishing tournaments.
No, it's already starting to prove it's right. You're right.
It's not the, you know, too many people on the flats, because I've seen years where there's way more people.
Yes.
And before the big crash back in 08, there were... at least one, if not two, redfish tournaments every weekend out of the year with 100. 150 boats was not uncommon. 70, if you only had like 40 or 50 boats in your tournament, it was a flop.
Yep.
And I mean, at that point, there was tournaments every weekend all over the place. Hundreds of boats in these tournaments fishing every weekend. And the redfish population did not seem to have a problem with it. And then all of a sudden, we get a few years of red tide while they're spawning, and all those eggs hatch into the red tide, and they all die. And no one's willing to see that, because you can't get that on a video camera.
No.
You can't be out there watching the egg and go, okay, look at the little guy's hatched, and oh, there he goes, he's dead. You know? So if you can't see it on video, social media doesn't believe it exists.
Exactly. Right.
So anyway, getting on to the fishing report. The Peace River system, I guess, is where we're at. I got screened out. I couldn't tell where the heck I was.
Basically, the only thing I've been hearing about up there has been some juvenile tarpon kind of scattered. Shell Creek Dam area, even along Shell Creek, up around the power lines, up to the Navigator. Even hearing of a few fish up further, like up closer to the water treatment plant. And they're the fun size. They're those 10 to 40 pounders with an occasional bigger one, but they've definitely been a few around. So if you happen to live up there, I'd probably suggest looking for them on your way out, but I don't know if I'd devote a day of it to be up there trying to find them.
All right. That's going to take us down to I-75. Anything going on down there?
The only thing I've been hearing about is a couple of juvenile tarpon in the early mornings right around sunrise.
Been some black drum hanging out there.
Any size of the black drum?
Yeah. I mean, they're decent. 40 pounds.
It's not bad at all.
I mean, there's not a lot there, but there has been a few hanging out there at the wooden bunks. And there's also some snook hanging out at those wooden bunks, too. Some big ones.
Okay.
My buddy, he got about a 41-incher last week there.
That's a pretty good one. That's a really good fish. It's amazing how they can sit up there around those pilings and never see them, and then one guy just catches several.
Now, you usually use paddle tails for those up there by that, right? You pitch
paddle
tails real slow. Remind me about that, because, you know, we've got the TV show coming up. We're going to have to go through the Strike King stuff and see what we can do about catching snook and stuff up there with the paddle tails.
Oh, yeah.
All right. 41 Bridge.
Just some black drum and an occasional tarpon. Other than that, it's been pretty quiet over there. I have not heard a ton of stuff going on.
There's been a few redfish caught in that normal spot on the
northbound side.
Yep, that one.
By the park.
Yes.
It's kind of that time of year for them, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been catching a few over there.
What are they catching those on?
Shrimp. Yep, they're just fishing for whatever and pretty much.
I'm kind of looking forward to them opening up that walkway underneath there. I think that's going to be a great thing for the fishing. Once they get that walkway opened up, you can literally just walk all underneath the bridges, both sides, the whole thing. And then if they put a fishing pier up in the middle of it, that'll be awesome. Because that's a great area for fish. It's just that, you know, landlocked people can't get to it. We're going to try and maybe I'll even pay for the signs. Keep this clean and we can keep fishing.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's one of the hardest things to explain to these idiots. They go out there and their mom doesn't go with them to clean up after them. Their wife isn't there to pick up their mess. If we cannot fish that pier, it will be because of these idiotic people who cannot take care of their own garbage. And I can see that coming. And so maybe I'll just spring for the signs. Keep this clean and we can keep fishing, you know.
It'll be a great spot. A lot of rocks down there on the bottom. I think that'd be a
just gonna be some awesome fishing there. I mean, this will be literally, I think, one of the highlight area of fishing, because with the corner over there, the structure, the snook, everything, it's gonna be a premier fishing spot. So if we can just get these idiots to clean up after themselves, they'll let us. But if it ends up all full of gunk and bags and, you know, it's not gonna be all right. But anyway, I'm on a lighter note. Lashley Pier.
I've got nothing. I have not heard a good report there or a bad report at all this week.
All right. Going down to Bayshore Pier.
There have been a couple of small bull sharks caught off of it. But other than that, it's been pretty quiet over there.
Okay. Port Charlotte Canals.
Jacks. A lot of sand bream being caught back in there. Had a guy in yesterday that caught a Atlantic croaker, which he was surprised to see because he only has caught those up in the North Atlantic part. So he was pleasantly surprised by that one. There has been some juvenile tarpon in there, a lot of little baby snook, and pretty much all the little 4 to 8 inch mangrove snapper that you can handle. So
there's actually been some better ones over in like the Manchester waterway where the locks used to be.
Really?
There's been some better snapper back there. It's hard fishing back there because the current rips so hard through there.
Right. How big are they?
13, 14 inch range.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Especially for in this upper harbor.
Yeah, no, there's been some good snapper back there lately. I caught a couple the other night when I was over there fishing my snook light. I ended up catching a couple of good snapper too.
Nice.
Alright, well, that'll take us out to around Elder Bean. What's going on, Elder Bean?
Elder Bean, a lot of snapper, mostly small. You know, 8 to 12 inches. There has been some small trout being caught during the daytime, and then there's been juvenile tarpon all around the bridge in the morning at first light. But overall, it's been pretty quiet out there at night fishing wise. Haven't heard a whole lot.
No, not lately. Few bigger tarpon running around, but very few.
We've had so many late afternoon thunderstorms, evening thunderstorms, I think that's keeping some of the people off of there for getting any good night reports.
Well, what have we got for the rest of the Miaka River area?
Tarpon. Especially towards the mouth of the harbor. And
out there by Hog Island?
Yeah. Hog Island, Marker 7, 8 area.
Okay. Anything over by my cutoff, Tippy Canoe Bay, up towards Northport? Anybody heard anything?
Some Pompano on the north end of Hog Island, kind of towards the Myakka cutoff.
There's been some big snook running around inside the Myakka cutoff. They've been doing good on big baits because they're big snook, you know, like ladyfish, mullet. We had one hooked up yesterday and we lost them. There's also been, you know, quite a few redfish on the outside of Hog Island. Just fishing outside.
Not on the grass flats or up along the shoreline?
Up along the shoreline when that water's up. It's very, very dark, muddy water over there right now, so you just have to fish it slow. Shrimp or crabs have been working great.
Any size to the redfish?
I haven't got any oversized fish over there, but they've been all in that 25, 27 inch range. I mean, they're good fish.
Well, there you go.
All right, South Gulf Cove.
Tilapia and Mayan cichlids. Whole lot of them. Especially when you come in the locks and go up that first canal system up to the right. That's where I've had a couple guys telling me about them the last couple days.
They haven't seen no big silverfish in there?
Nope. I was asking them about any tarpon in there, but they hadn't seen any.
I heard tilapia, and I was like,
Yeah, but if you go up in there, if you could throw a cast net, get a bunch of those 4 to 6 inch tilapia up there, take them back out in the harbor, and candy.
Yeah, they're big tilapia from what I'm hearing. Like,
oh, the great big ones?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Food size.
Yeah.
Worth playing with as far as panfish goes.
All right, West Wall.
A lot of different fish all along there. Redfish and snook up against the bushes for the most part. Then some pompano scattered up and down on top of the bar with some ladyfish. And then on the outside edge of the bar, there's been some tarpon here and there, just very scattered, but they're there. I don't know if you got anything.
The West Wall has been doing very, very good on redfish. They're not as balled up as they were. They're more scattered out now. Now I think that red tide's starting to push out. I think a lot of our fish are starting to push down the West Wall south, starting to work their way down the harbor towards like Turtle and Bull and all that.
Back to that little bit higher salinity and a little bit cooler water.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. It's where they normally should be for this time of year.
Yep. And I've been noticing they're starting to push, you know, slide down the wall towards the, you know, Turtle and Bull and all that, where it's going to be
cooler. And it's weird because, you know, you don't know if the fish have the red tide areas and then they move away from it. And if they would move away from red tide, why do so many die? I think a lot of them get in there, and it's kind of like the frog. If you put it in a pot of water and turn the heat up really slowly, it dies. But if you throw a frog into boiling water, he jumps right out.
Right.
So that might be the kind of way it works. If the red tide comes into an area and actually happens pretty slowly, maybe then the fish don't really notice and it just gets a little worse, and all of a sudden they're dead. Where if there's a bad red tide and those fish go, they will move away from it. Like they come up and go, oh man, this is bad. Turn around and go. Well,
just look at all the marinas out there, like Boca Grande and Englewood. All their snook left when the red tide was. Now that it's gone, all those pet snook, they're all back.
And we were talking about that at Stump Pass, trying to figure out, do they just hang out on the bottom and hope for the best, or do they actually leave and come back? And I was trying to wonder what would be the catalyst for them dying, because if the red tide came up and they actually, okay, this is bad, let me leave, but if the red tide would build slowly, it would just be a gradual thing and then they would die. But if they would come across the bad red tide, they'd try and get out of it.
What happens if it's like, you know, when we had that bad freeze and we lost a lot of snook?
Right.
You know, a lot of the snook that weren't...
They were stupid, lazy snook.
They didn't know what they had to do when it got cold. Well, what if, you know, most of the time, all of our red tide comes later in the year when our redfish breed. It never usually happens when our snook breed. So what if all of our snook just didn't know, the ones that did die.
If they were the dumb ones or the young ones who never really experienced the red tide, mm-hmm. didn't know what it was about, and it started happening, and they died because they didn't know better, but the other ones who had been through a red tide actually left to be able to come back. That's a good point. You know, you could. I can picture a little bit of my thing with the slowly increasing versus the, you know, boom, here it is, and ones that are just don't have any idea what it is and die in it because they don't know, versus like the snook who didn't die during that freeze. They were the ones who went to deep waters. It got colder. Mm-hmm. They lived. The ones who just kind of hung out in the shallows, they all died. Yep. And so it was the ones who didn't know what to do, too dumb, too lazy to move, and they died. And it could be this. That's a really good point, Carl. Okay. Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay.
Pompano. Pompano out on Cape Hayes. Some ladyfish.
There's some good trout out there right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, some big trout. We've been, because I've been loading up there on ladyfish, and, you know, we've been either going through big trout, little itty bitty jacks, or, you know, ladyfish.
Well, it's not too bad.
No, it's surprising. You know, there's some good trout out there right now off of Cape Hayes.
I haven't heard of anything in Muddy Bay at all.
I can actually tell you, I think with the new economy and the amount of work and jobs that are available, high-paying jobs, I think that's why we're seeing so many more jacks. The guys can make so much more money pounding nails, you know, running wire on electrical plant, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's plumbers, electricians, all the guys who might be commercial fishing don't have time to commercial fish because they can make more money at a real job.
Yeah.
So we're seeing less commercial fishing just because it's not as lucrative as what the jobs are paying. Whereas a few years ago, nobody had any money, so if you go out in a boat, make anything, it was better than nothing.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So, because I'm just wondering how come all of a sudden we've had so many jacks and some of these other fish.
Oh, there's a big school of 20-pounders running the harbor right now.
Oof. Really?
Yeah, we got onto them yesterday morning.
Well, you know, and that could be just a matter of, and a lot of times everything boils down to economics.
Yeah.
So.
Especially in the commercial fishing industry, because it's such an inconsistent paycheck.
Oh, yeah. I can remember when I was commercial fishing, you know, 1 week I'd have $2,000-$5,000 in my pocket, and then all of a sudden I was broke.
Right.
Because you never know when you were going to get paid next.
Right.
And being young and stupid, living in a camping trailer and having an affection for bottles and stuff. Anyway, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
Starting to pick up again, getting mixed reports of trout, redfish, and snook in there, along with some bigger ladyfish, and then there has been some juvenile tarpon in that back section of Turtle Bay in that deeper trough, along with a few bigger ones. You know, the weirdest part is I really haven't heard of any bonnet heads or anything else up in there. I'm sure there has been, but
I haven't heard seen them at all. I've been looking in that one spot that I normally go. And I haven't seen them there. I've seen a juvenile tarpon there. There's a lot of very, very big snook, oversized snook in Turtle Bay right now. It seems like a snook just infested Turtle Bay. I know guys that are going out there, crack of dawn, throwing ladyfish, big top waters, and they're getting these big snook right now. Bull Bay is actually doing really good on redfish. There's a good school of redfish running around in the back of Bull Bay right now.
Now, if you're talking about those snook, are you talking about a 6-inch bait, a 8-inch, a 10-inch, 15-inch?
Like the ladyfish they're throwing, I mean, it's from 12 inches and up. You know, ladyfish that you would throw for a tarpon. You know, the top waters, they're grabbing the biggest top waters that they can find. You know, those big zero spooks and stuff like that. But they've been doing very, very well on the big snook and Turtle Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Early in the morning.
Okay, and that's going to take us over to Cape Hayes, Danger Reef. Anything out there?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, what do we got out there, Carl?
Jacks, little jacks. There's also, you know, ladyfish out there. There has been some bigger tarpon throughout the day, on and off, going in and out of there. and a lot of little sharks.
What kind of sharks?
Little bulls and black tips.
Okay. Those little 3-footers?
Yeah. Little fun size and light tackle.
You think they're going to still be here September? My kid's coming down for that shark tournament. My son's coming down. Not shark tournament. We're going to take my son out. His buddy who's getting married wants to catch a shark. So that's going to be something. In order to make myself look good, I said, yeah, no problem. And Carl, what do you want for a day?
There you go.
That way, kid comes down, take him and his buddies out. I look like a hero. Carl catches a lot of fish. It seems to be the way it works.
It's a win-win situation for everybody.
Yeah, it works. Okay, so you know, when you absolutely has to be fish that day. Coral.
So, nice.
I can't remember. There was a commercial about when it absolutely positively has to be there, right?
Yeah.
All right. Gasparilla Sound, Tailing Flats.
Honestly, it's been sporadic there. The red tide is pretty much gone, but I'm hearing of some incidental little patches. So, you know, there's a few snook and redfish and trout down in there, but you've got to be prepared to move a little bit because you're going to hit some isolated little spots that are going to chase you out, I would say. I mean, it's not brutal by any stretch, but there's enough there where
still not yet
spotty.
Still not ready to go that way yet.
Okay, Placida Pier Trestle.
Kind of the same scenario.
Somebody was in the other day talking about a bunch of fish, Placida, how much fun they were having, yada,
right.
And I don't remember what it was.
But it's one guy tells me that, and another guy tells me that he ran into some of the red tide and had to move and went over and caught some snapper and caught a couple Spanish mackerel, but then had to move again as that tide shifted or the wind shifted. So you're going to go there, and it's been good to better than average or very lousy. It's not super consistent.
What about Lemon Bay?
Lemon Bay is kind of the same thing, but it is cleared up a lot more up in there. I've had several customers that have been going up there to the Stump Pass area, and they're starting to see a lot more snook moving in there. They're catching a few. They're catching a lot of small trout, an occasional redfish. A couple guys have caught some baby gag grouper over there on those grass flats. So I'm starting to see more life.
I've heard from one of my customers that, you know, they live up there and they have a boat. They said the bait's starting to come back up there. They said they're catching a lot of small trout. They are actually catching some nice sheephead up there, you know, just on the backside of Stump Pass. So the fishing is starting to get better up there.
Yeah, definitely, definitely on the increase there, which is a very good thing.
All right, well, it's going to take us over to the Anger Pier. Has it picked up there yet?
I haven't heard so much off the pier, but the guys are fishing around the bridge right there at night and during the day and catching some small mangrove snapper, some juvenile tarpon, and a few whiting.
You heard anything, Carl?
Nope.
But not gangbusters.
All right, Golfito de Mexico. And from our Fish and Frank store in North Fort Myers, Vinny, his customers are talking about grouper, mangrove snapper bite, which is really good around 55 feet of water west of Redfish Pass. Pompano are being caught on and around Helen's Reef, and that's from the Fish and Franks 2 in the Inman Marine Boat Dealership, North Fort Myers. So what does the Fish and Franks store in Port Charlotte have to say, guys?
I'm going to go with a little bit of that. You know, most of the snapper fishing, both lanes and mangrove snapper, are in like 50 feet plus of water. 50 to 80 feet seems to be kind of that magic number, along with some grunts and porgies. They are getting a few permit out there on some of the reefs. An occasional cobia. Still been a few scattered Spanish mackerel in those same vicinities. The grouper and amberjack, though, most of those reports are like 90 to 130 feet of water. Not hearing of much positive grouper fishing inside of 90 feet of water, except for a couple of exceptionally good anglers and a couple of lucky ones. But
I sent one of my customers to Bayrano. He was looking for AJs. He said he got a couple nice ones.
Yeah.
He said they didn't catch a lot, but he did get a couple nice ones, and they actually caught some nice grouper just right in that whole vicinity right around Bayrano.
It's not a bad thing at all.
There's been a lot of people talking about sailfish.
Yeah.
A lot of people coming in here talking about sailfish and buying those ballyhoo that are rigged up.
Some guy bought all of our ballyhoo yesterday. We're out. He bought like 5 or 6 packs. There was like 2, 3, 1.
They've been pretty far out.
I got a question for you guys. When we're going to be expanding, getting a lot more store, maybe what I should do is, you know, look for some of those stand-up freezers, you know, like they have in the convenience stores. You know, like the glass front stand-up freezers. Do you think that's a good idea, or should we just stay with the old chest freezers?
Stay with the chest freezers.
The good thing about a chest freezer, if somebody leaves the door open a little bit, all the bait doesn't melt.
Right, exactly.
And
that's the last thing we need.
You know, because I was thinking, boy, it should be nice to be able to walk up and see that. Once we get these other units, we're going to be about doubling the size of Fish and Frank's. And what we're going to do is be moving the freezers around, but we're going to start, hopefully, have enough room to start stocking 25-pound flats of some of the different baits. That's going to be a good, you know, next level thing. And so I just got to figure out where to put the big freezer to hold that stuff, because we run pretty short on freezer space around here.
I was gonna say.
So alright, anyway, coming down, let's see where we are, the passes. Anything in Venice?
Venice has got some red tide up there. That seems to be the starting point for consistent red tide, is Venice all the way up through Sarasota Bay. All
right, Stump Pass.
Stump Pass starting to pick up a little bit with the few snook. Carl was just saying the couple of sheep's head, some bait fish starting to show up in there.
Some pompano.
You know, a lot of little trout around that general vicinity of the pass. Wouldn't surprise me if the little jacks were moving in and out through there, because that seems to be about the only thing I catch every time I go there.
Little Gasparilla Pass?
I have not heard of anything in Little Gasparilla Pass at all.
Okay, Boca.
Some mangrove snapper, small grouper, you know, exceptionally small grouper. There has been some Spanish mackerel, bluefish, and ladyfish cruising through there on occasion, and an occasional tarpon. Just depends on the moment. You just got to be there for those guys, because they're not consistent in the past, but they are there.
Okay, anything?
He got it.
All right, Captiva.
I got nothing south of there because of some of the red tide reports.
Yeah, I went down that way last week, and I had to turn around at Lake Giuseppe. All
right, that Redfish Pass?
Nope, same thing.
All right, let's see. That's going to take us over to Walking the Beach. Is there a good beach? Like, how's Minnesota?
I haven't heard of Minnesota, but Inglewood Beach and Stump Pass Beach, I've been hearing some reports on those.
Okay.
A couple of small jacks in the surf, a couple of whiting, lots of bait starting to move in. They're seeing some snook moving around, but nobody's catching them that I've heard of. But they are seeing them at least, so that's a good thing.
Yep.
And the bait, the guy said that most of it appeared to be greenbacks, but he saw a couple there, schools of bait fish, that he said were much longer, and what he was describing to me sounded like Spanish sardines.
Wow, that close to shore, huh?
Yeah, he said about
special baits.
About 5 feet of water.
What about my special baits?
Cigar minnows?
Yeah. Oh, the cigar minnows, they could have been.
Yeah, because I usually do get them pretty close to the beach.
Yeah, yeah. When I was commercial fishing, I worked on a shore seine boat. And we did all the cigar minnows we caught were with a beach seine, where one guy would get out, hold the one end of the net that had the anchor on it, and you'd run it up to shore, and they'd run the boat around, and then you'd go back and pull the other side of the net to shore, and literally you'd be pulling the net right up to the beach and then walk it back out where the boat was. But yeah, all our cigar minnows came right off the beach.
That's where I usually get them. It's really close.
All right.
Yeah, could have been.
I'm just saying, there's no reason Spanish sardines wouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that's where, when I was actually commercial fishing, That's where we caught cigar minnows, right on the beach.
Yep.
All right, Punarasa, Sanibel, anything?
Wow, Red Tide. Red Tide's pretty heavy down in that area.
Okay. Now, just for the record, boys and girls, the Caloosahatchee could be responsible for that Red Tide around Sanibel and all that. That is the most likely scenario, the most common thing, is to have the Caloosahatchee nutrients feeding Red Tide down there. While we've told you it's impossible for the Caloosahatchee to have had effects on other areas, it is definitely possible it's affecting that area. But getting in the Caloosahatchee River, you guys got any reports?
No, I haven't got anything.
Okay. From our Fish and Franks 2, Fort Myers store and the Ingman Marine Boat Dealership, the Franklin Locks are great snook fishing day and night. There's a bunch of big snook up there and a lot of the tarpon everybody likes to catch, those 20 to 50 pounders. They're up there in the river on the spillways, docks, bridges. The Broadway Street Bridge has a lot of fish activity this week for the shore fishermen, everything from snappers on out. So the Broadway Street Bridge doing good. That's all coming from Vinny at our Fort Myers store at the Ingman Marine Boat Dealership and Fish and Franks 2, if you will. And Cape Coral, anybody got anything?
Got nothing.
All right, from Fish and Franks 2 and the Ingman Marine Boat Dealership in North Fort Myers, we have the Cape Coral canals. A lot of bass being caught on soft plastics. They're not really being specific as to what type of soft plastics they are. I'm going to have to get those guys a little more because they've had the same, you know, report for 2 weeks that the Cape Coral canals, bass on soft plastics. You would kind of think with all the blue-green algae and all that that there would be nothing, but there's still a lot of canals that are good to fish down there. So that's a good hopeful sign.
A lot of people don't realize how many freshwater canals are down in Cape Coral. They associate so much of that with all this stuff going on right now with only blue-green algae being in the saltwater canals. But there's a ton of freshwater canals.
Miles upon miles upon miles of canals in Cape Coral.
Yeah.
And Matt Lachey. And what do we got?
Matt Lachey is actually pretty clean. You know, last week I went down, I was just doing a little scouting, and I got to Pine Island. Well, I got to USEP, I had to turn around, so I came back around, and I went all the way to Matt Lachey, all the way to St. James City, and I mean, we caught fish all the way to St. James City. Trout, snook, redfish. We caught a couple of flounder. You know, we were all throwing shrimp and crabs all day long. We did throw some artificial, like some gulp shrimp and some Z-Man paddle tails. But there's a lot of... Matt Lachey is doing pretty good. And the water is very, very clean down there. It's crystal clear. You could actually spot fish down there right now.
Yeah, I've been hearing kind of the same reports. The only thing I could add to that is that there has been some small black tips and bull sharks down in that area also.
Mm.
Especially more out towards the center of the channel areas. A little deeper water, but...
Yeah, up there towards Two Pines.
Yeah, between Two Pines and Matt Lachey.
Okay, and from our North Fort Myers store that located in the Ingman Marine Boat Dealership, Fish and Franks 2 reports that due to the freshwater runoff from the Cape Coral Creek, the fish seem to be pushed to the west side of, let's see, pushed in numbers to the west side of Pass. North of the bridge, the water is dark tannic, but no sign of algae or red tide. Redfish being caught south of the Indian fields, and juvenile tarpon trout in the main channel north of the bridge. Snook being caught off the bridge, best activity at night up to, and that goes all the way up to about Two Pines. Snook and trout along the east side of the channel and the small islands, throw back as far as you can get underneath the mangroves for those snook. And that comes from our Fish and Franks 2 in North Fort Myers.
There was some juvenile tarpon on the mangroves in Indian fields last week when I was in there.
Cool.
Yep, little guys.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to make a color pounds for small snook juveniles. I haven't done that yet. I'm going to add that to the...
And lots of glass minnows down there in Matt Lachey. Like, herds and herds and herds of glass minnows everywhere.
Wow.
Which is a good thing, but...
That's awesome. How about Pine Island Sound?
Negative.
Too much red tide.
A if you're going to fish Pine Island Sound, you know, fish the very, very north end of Pine Island Sound. Like, I wouldn't go past Yuseppa.
All right, according to the guys down there at the Pine Island store, or at our Fort Myers store, redfish and snook are being caught south of the commercial marina along the shoreline at 40 Acre Bay and lower 36 Bay. Now, I'm not even sure where those are, but it says redfish and snook being caught south of the commercial marina along shoreline in 40 Acre Bay and lower 36 Bay. So there's a couple places I gotta add to the charts.
that might be down there by like that island they call Chino, where all those big shrimp boats go and empty their nets. Yep. Where you could go catch gags on.
Right, that would be the one spot. Yeah. The other spot I was thinking of is that it's where that old commercial spot used to be, where they turned it into a kayak launch.
Mm.
Kind of like right in the middle of the island.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm thinking you're pretty much right on those. Okay, Boquilla, Jug Creek Shoals.
I've got nothing.
Yeah, there has been a lot of bait out there in that area, 9-11. There's been a lot of trout, snook, and there has been some redfish, you know, running all those little power lines right there on Boquilla.
Okay.
What are you catching those on?
Crab.
Crab?
Yeah. I'm throwing all crab and all shrimp for everything. The water is way too warm. I mean, yesterday I marked 94 degrees again, water temp.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It's pretty toasty.
Take us over to Burnt Store in Two Pines.
It's been pretty fishy over there. A lot of snook and redfish along the shorelines. And then quite a few pompano just on the outside of the bar, literally from Two Pines all the way up north of Burnt Store. And then there has been some tarpon scattered along there too on the outside of the bar out there in that like 8 to 10 feet of water.
Yeah, they've been hit or miss.
Yeah.
They're there one day, not there the next couple of days.
Yeah.
I usually start my day there looking for them.
It's worth at least looking for them. Absolutely. Just be prepared for them, but don't
put all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
Okay. Now let's go to up to the east side. What's going on the east side of the harbor?
Up to just north of Pirate Harbor down, there's been quite a few pompano on the outside of the bar. And then, of course, you've had some redfish and snook all along all those little islands and along the shoreline. Been getting some reports of some bigger mangrove snapper mixed in with them on those grass flats, along with some small trout, and some ladyfish schools have been also scattered out there just off the bar.
You know, just from Pyre Harbor to Alligator Creek, every outside island pretty much over there right now is full of redfish. And everybody knows that too. I waited around a little too long yesterday and went and caught ladyfish, went over there. I mean, there was literally a boat on every single outside island, and pretty much every boat had at least one rod hooked up. There's a lot of redfish, you know, running around over there. Crab is going to be your best bet. Another thing is the snook. The snooker seem to hang at least one set or two sets of islands back. They're separating themselves pretty good right now.
So, you know, it's kind of funny. This year is working out to be a lot like, we had 2 years there, remember, Robert, where there was like no redfish here in the beginning of the year. You went all the way through up into July and barely finding any redfish at all. And then all of a sudden it was like, and I can remember talking that they're coming through a wormhole in the time-space continuum.
They're just hiding.
But they switched roles because it was all of a sudden the snook disappeared and it was all redfish and then it was vice versa.
Yeah, but I mean, all of a sudden there's redfish all over the place. I mean, we've said redfish, 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 redfish this whole report. And everybody's telling us there's no redfish, they're gone, they need to be closed, we shouldn't be allowed to keep anything. And yet, now all of a sudden, we've got redfish everywhere. Is there something about a computer keyboard, or maybe it's a smartphone, because I guess people don't use computer keyboards anymore. Only I do. But I guess, does something about using a smartphone dull your senses? so that when you post on social media, everything's got to be the world's ending, everything's gone. And
I have an answer for that.
Okay.
Most of them carry it in their back pocket, which is the closest place to being full of.
Okay, so it's the location of their cell phone. When they take it out, they're still having the residual effects of where they carry that cell phone.
Yep.
So when they go to post on social media,
that most of the time too. So
well, cell phones do have little magnets, so they could be drawing their brain down a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know why everybody's so darn extreme, but yeah, that makes the best sense.
Hey, they're going to be extreme. I'm going to go with the extreme.
We've always had a lot of redfish here. It's just when people aren't finding them, they're not thinking outside the box. You know, you have to, if you're not finding them in your normal areas, you know, either go as far back in the mangroves as you, in the islands as you could go, you know, check the shallowest places that you go, or maybe go check your deeper areas. You know, our fish don't leave. They're teenagers. They're not leaving our harbor. You know, they're always here. You just, sometimes, you know, they're a little harder to find. You got to go hunting.
Well, that's like, I remember, I look on social media, which I almost never do anymore. I don't post. I don't look hardly. But I was hearing so many things, and then I go on to, you know, actually look for myself and see what people were saying. And there's absolutely no redfish, and, you know, everything's horrible. And we have all the big shots from Rapala coming down, who I'm lucky enough to be friends with. I call up Carl. I say, Carl, we got all these big shots from Rapala here. Can we go out and catch some nice fish? He goes, sure. And I'm like, well, okay, what are we going to catch? He said, redfish. I'm like, Carl, there's no redfish out there. Everywhere I've looked trying to find reports of redfish, there's no redfish. He's nah, no problem. And we go out, and, I mean, the new boss of Rapala is catching redfish after redfish. We had a great time. And so
they're always here, and sometimes they're there and you're just not throwing the right thing. Yeah. They could be very, very picky. I mean, our snook, our redfish, they could be
extremely picky. Was I'm watching you go up and I'm thinking, okay, we're going here because this is like world famous redfish spot, and you go by it, and so I'm thinking, okay, we're going to go to this spot again, just famous red spot, and no, you stop right in the middle of the two of them and go, okay, here we are. I'm looking going, really? Okay. So I even wrote articles about it. Fish where they ain't. If you think they're here and here, try and find a place in the middle, because you got to think differently, fish differently,
no
work differently. And people always ask me, how far can a redfish really go? How far could they go? I said, well, how fast do you walk? I think the average person walks about a mile and a half to 2 miles an hour. So let's say you're walking 2 miles an hour. So boys and girls out there, if you're listening, how far can a fish go? If it swims 2 miles an hour, which is a very leisurely pace, how far can that fish go in an hour?
Long ways.
2 miles.
Yep. A long way when you're casting.
So in a half an hour, he could be a mile away.
Yeah.
In 15 minutes, he could be, you know, a half a mile away. That's at 2 miles an hour. Fish can swim a lot faster than that. But it's just, for me, the math's easier. Okay, Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut.
A lot of juvenile tarpon up inside Alligator Creek. Like, a lot of juvenile tarpons up to that 30-pound range. There's also been some big black drum running around inside those up beside Power Harbor too.
Up inside Alligator Creek, or
you're talking burnt store aisles?
Both.
Yeah.
In the creek itself and in burnt store aisles.
Yeah, but when you get up in the creek, you know, there's all those little canals going left and right before you get to burnt store aisles. Up in those canals.
Okay.
There's been a lot of them.
All right, Robert, you got anything?
That's all I've been hearing about. An occasional jack.
Let's see, Ponce de Leon Park.
It's been pretty slow there. There's been a lot of small mangrove snapper, been a couple of big snook as usual, and then some black drum coming through sporadically.
Yeah, they've been catching a lot of small mangrove snapper there. And they're all getting them eaten on them, too.
All right, now, I had a guy come in, and he's getting all these fish on the line, all these snook, having a crazy day, catching a lot, or getting a lot of snook on the line, couldn't land them, too big, I'm not sure if they were too big or what was actually going on, but he went back out with a shark rod. He came in, got a bunch of pinfish, got his shark rod, 80-pound test on it. He was going back out for those snook.
I seen him yesterday. If I'm pretty sure it's the same person. He had a big conventional?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's out there at Ponce. He's got that big old, he's got a big pinfish out of there, and he's trying for them snook. He's going to get them. They ain't getting away from him anymore. He says, I don't care. I'm going to let them go. He says, but I want to get them up and actually land one of them.
I could tell him how to catch them.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, but I seen him there yesterday. I was taking the boat out of the water. Yeah, he was there.
All right. PGI Canals, what's going on there?
A lot of juvenile tarpon. And a lot of black drum moving around all over the place in there. And then there has been a handful of really big snook being caught, especially towards the mouths of the canals where you meet the harbor at Colony Point, Bass Inlet, Turnaround Basin.
All on artificial, too.
Yeah. Yeah, a couple guys are doing exceptionally good on the artificials. Mm-hmm. Most of that's been a really late bite, though, like after midnight.
Like yesterday I was over there fishing on those big black drum and 10 till. Willie, the guy that always comes in 10 minutes till we close. Okay. He was over there in his new boat. I think he was with his buddy or his dad or something. And
we have a 10 till Willie.
Yep.
Okay.
Well,
he always comes in 10 minutes before we close.
So. I was one canal over from him, and I was at the mouth, and he was at the other mouth of this canal. Well, he was sitting there just throwing artificial, and he was catching snook after snook after snook after snook from, 12 inches up to 30-something inches. And then I yelled over at him. I was like, hey.
Is he the guy who just bought us out of the storm Twitch again?
No, that's a different guy.
Oh, okay.
And I yelled over at him. I was like, hey, come on over here. I got this big school black drum over there. And he came over, and he started throwing DOA shrimp in there, catching them. And then we were pulling out, so I gave him the rest of my crabs. But he was literally catching a snook on every cast. He was throwing DOA shrimp and storm paddle tails.
I'll be done. D.O.A. Any idea what color?
It was the see-through with glitter DOA shrimp, and then it was like the off-white storm paddle tail.
Okay.
I forget what the color that is.
Yeah, it's just an off-white. Yeah. I don't know what the name of it is.
But literally, they were hooking them, and he was also, what he was doing is, I seen him, he was putting Pro-Cure on them, and then he was throwing them.
I'll be darned.
Every cast he'd throw out, he puts a little bit of Pro-Cure on, smear it over the lure, and he'd throw it in there, and he was catching snook after snook after snook.
Well, I mean, some guys just get it down pat, and they get the right spot, the right day, and they have those 30, 50 snook day.
He was tearing them up.
Without killing 2,000 white bait.
Yeah.
Gilcrest Pier.
I got nothing.
Okay.
There was about a 7-8-foot alligator sitting over there on the bank the other day, again, from another customer that went out there.
Nice.
It's been there off and on for the last couple weeks.
Oh, probably over by the gazebo.
Yeah.
And get right up there.
Yeah.
Okay, Alligator Creek Reef.
Been some tarpon on it off and on. Been some small mangrove snapper, an occasional spade fish. That's about all I've heard about.
Yesterday, just off the Alligator Creek Reef, just south of it, probably a half a mile, that's where I got on that big school of those 20-pound jacks yesterday. They were chasing pods of little glass minnows. You'd see them pop up, start smashing, you drive up to them, cast in, then you have to find them on your side scan or wait for them to pop up, but they were big school jacks. And we were throwing all artificial at them, bait busters, storm baits.
I will say one thing that I'm almost convinced of, and that is, they're going to have to outlaw electronics in the harbor.
Right.
They're going to have to allow simple GPS, simple bottom finders, because the side scans and the imaging and all the rest of that stuff are not going to give the fish a break.
No.
There is, right now the technology is so good and getting better by the year. I mean, what are you using for a side scan, Pearl?
I got Lowrance.
Okay.
That was my boat yesterday. You think I got tarpon around my boat?
So between the Lowrance, I hear about a Helix, I hear about, I mean, so many of these amazing electronics, and now they got a 360 one, so you can look all the way around the boat, but you can't be running with it. But, you know, if you're stopped or at a very slow idle, you can put this thing in the water and see all the way around your boat. This is the one thing. I don't think we need closed seasons. And it's the same thing in a lot of these areas, like the passes when they're doing tarpon and stuff. It is the bottom machines that are the problem. It's not whether you're jigging or live baiting or what you're doing. The bottom machines are so good, you can literally tell if there's fish there. The only place they get a break is back on the flats, because none of them really work on the flats as well.
The new Lowrance one does.
But they're getting there. But still, it's much harder for them to work in that 2 feet of water.
No, like, I was talking to a guy yesterday, one of the head guys from Lowrance, and he's actually coming down. I'm taking him out here soon. They have this new transducer, and he sent me a picture. 6 feet of water, he's side-scanning redfish under the bushes.
That's in 6 feet of water.
Well, I mean...
You know, I'm just saying, there's a big difference once you hit 2 feet of water. Most depth finders don't even work in 2 feet of water. People buy these depth finders so they can tell how deep they are in the flats. Most of them start flashing. They cannot read that shallow.
Right.
It's with that side scan, it's cheating. It's unfair to the fish, because, like, literally yesterday with that school of jacks, the school of black drum, and all those tarpon, and that's
where I probably, with my old tech, I would have had a hard time finding them. When I caught a few, it would have been very almost impossible for me to figure out where they were or are.
That's what I was doing. I was following with my side scan.
So, all right, the deep holes in the harbor.
Tarpon
and sharks.
Tarpon on all the smaller bulls and a few smaller black tips mixed in with them.
Steve got his butt handed to him yesterday by a big bull. Peg leg. Yep. He got handed up in the first hole. I got done tarpon fishing. I came by. We talked for a couple minutes, and I pulled out. And he's like, because I was like, man, I'm marking a bunch of stuff off the back of your boat. And 10 minutes later, he calls me and goes, I got my butt handed to me by a big bull. I was like, I told you I was marking stuff.
Well... maybe he's going to have to get a fake butt as well as that fake leg. Something with a little more metal in it.
Yep, I mean.
All right, give me some bait reports.
Glass minnows and tiny threadies scattered throughout the whole harbor.
Yes.
You know, they're out there in that 8 to 20 feet of water.
Is there any place you could go to find some greenbacks or cast net? Boquilla, maybe?
I haven't heard of any.
9 and 11's been hit or miss down in Boquilla.
All right, well, I'm going to skip over that a bit. I'll do the red tide stuff. Literally no red tide in Charlotte Harbor.
No.
Now, you get out around Boca Grande, Placida, places like that, you're going to run into it a little bit. I've got to change the way I'm doing this because it's too sporadic, too hit or miss. We need a freshwater report.
Okay. Bass fishing has been really good. I mean, people are buying shiners for both the saltwater and the freshwater, but the bass fishing guys are buying a lot of shiners lately. These last couple weeks have been kind of hard to keep up with the shiners, to be honest. They're fishing under a bobber, and they're also putting a small split shot on them and getting them to stay down just a little bit deeper, because some of these canals, those bass are staying a little less active. So you need to slow that shiner down and keep them down deep. A lot of the 1 to 4 pound fish being caught. The canals back there off of,
Hillsborough,
well,
Veterans.
Off of Veterans, there we go. Veterans, Peachland area, all those canals. Have had several customers that are fishing behind their houses. A couple of guys are putting in little John boats and canoes and fishing around all those little canals. And then, of course, you know, 9 Mile Canal, same thing. Anywhere where there's some good moving water seems to be a little bit better, whether it's a culvert pipe or where two canals kind of meet together, you know, seems to be holding the better fish.
Guy I had on the boat yesterday, he said he's been doing very well on those flukes, all white, split tails. but he said he's been, like Robert said, he's actually been using a bullet weight to get it to sink down a little bit more. But he said he's doing very, very well on those for the fresh water.
Okay. And, that's going to take us down to tarpon. We've got a map up, but tarpon in the Middle Harbor, bait busters, ladyfish?
Ladyfish is king right now, but they are hitting bait busters and the big storm swim baits, the 5 and 6 inch ones. A couple guys are doing okay on the big Z-mans and the hoagies, but ladyfish is definitely the way to be right now with them. Look for them along, you know, primarily in the holes is where they've been the most consistent, but there has been quite a few single fish along the east side. Seeing them, I didn't say catching them, seeing them.
They're on one end of the harbor to the other end from one day. They're moving.
Yeah, they're peppered literally all over the center of the harbor. Cape Hayes, down by Two Pines, mouth of Myakka River. You know, they haven't really patterned themselves to stick in one area. Whether you go out there this morning or tomorrow morning, it's going to be a completely different spot where they're more concentrated. But if you want to cover some ground, you'll definitely get into some fish. You just got to go slow, cover a lot of area.
Like last week, I was doing all my tarpon fishing at Cape Hayes. I have not done any tarpon fishing on Cape Hayes this week at all. I've been doing them all up by like the first hole or the middle hole.
Cool.
You know that they're moving around a lot. You know, it's just you got to get out. Once you find them, you know, go slow. And once you find them, you're going to be in them.
All right. Any other generalized fishing stuff that we should go over, guys?
Not really. I mean, just the main thing is with all the fishing out there is pretty much go as slow as you can because it's hot. You know. We're at our peak of the summer. We're at the peak of the rainy season. Fish are a little lethargic. There's plenty of fish to be caught. The key to all of it, though, is working it slow. You know, with the exception of your ladyfish and your jacks. But if you're working on the flats in the bushes or you're looking for tarpon, slow everything down.
Carl, maybe you can explain to me why we're like the only positive voice in the universe here. I don't understand it. I mean... This is actually a better than average August fishing season. Maybe the thing is too many people going to where they've always gone, doing what they've always done, expecting something different to happen.
Well, see, that's what it is.
Insane.
Because, you know, normally this time of year, a lot of our fish are out towards Boca and that because it's going to be colder water. But this year they can't be out there because of the red tide, so all the fish are up here. And to be honest, this is a phenomenal year right now.
Yeah, and I think Carl hit it right, is that the majority of the population is used to fishing out on the beaches, out on the passes, the very, very near shore reefs, you know, 3 miles and less. You know, they don't know what to do now because that red tide is so... It's totally made them rethink their game, and they have no clue because they're standing out there with a baseball bat when they need to have a basketball.
Yeah, because
they just don't know what to do. They're confused.
Okay.
Normally this time of year, I'm usually sitting out there in Catfish or Whiting Creek, you know, Bull Bay mainly because it's going to be cooler because you're closer to the Gulf. But not this year. I mean, I'm up here in the harbor, and it's fantastic.
It's one of these weird years where it shouldn't be happening, but everything changed because circumstances change, and everything affects everything else. When you change one little thing, it has a ripple effect into many other things. And so the key to it all is looking for what changed, looking what happened, figuring it out a little bit and saying, okay, well, this happened. Let's look here. I can't go where I've always gone. You got to change up a little bit. But if you're up north wondering, should you come in September or October or whatever, I got to tell you, I think the fishing's pretty darn good. It's literally kind of amazing. I mean, I'm listening to guys come in grabbing shark rods because they can't land the fish. I'm just hearing so many different stories, and I think the biggest aspect is exactly that. You know, try a little something new. Stop in and talk to us. We'll help. that's, you know, what we're in business is.
That's why we're here.
We're in the business of helping you have fun and catch fish. That's what we're here for. So, anyway, anything you want to add there, Robert?
No, I'm good.
Captain Carl, anything to say?
Get out, have fun, and catch some fish, because they're doing good right now.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it.
And the cool thing is, most everybody's freaked out about the red tide, so they're not out there.
You know, get out there earlier, because it is very hot. Get out early and get off the water early before the storms roll in, before it gets too hot.
Yeah, I'm leaving, literally, if I want to go fishing, I want to leave pretty much as the sun's coming up and call it quits between 11 and 12, so that I'm in the house by 2 o'clock before it gets really, really nasty out there. Because between 2 and 6, it's hot. But the rest of it, pretty darn cool. And mornings are wonderful right now. Nice and cool.
Yeah, I had to wear a jacket yesterday morning.
Yeah. It got to, what, 80? So you had to put a jacket on?
Yep.
All right. We'll catch you guys in the next Radio Fishing. Bye.